Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world of the paranormal.
With Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, explore the world of UFOs, demons, ghosts, and even Bigfoot.
Only on blogtalkradio.com and KITCFM 106.5 and KNCPFM 107.3.
Well, hello everybody out there in the virtual world. I'm Jason Ophir, here with another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Now, we have a little bit to talk about this evening. That wasn't the right intro that had set to play, so we're already having a technical hiccup, but we shall move forward. So this evening, as some of you may know, our show hasn't played for the last few months. We've been on a kind of a summer hiatus to get out there and enjoy the weather. And boy, Pat Rice and I sure did enjoy the time off, but we also have an announcement. Pat Rice has other things going on, and so she's no longer going to be co-hosting the show. So Paranormal Horizons has found a new co-host that we're very excited to have. And also, I should also mention that we're kind of going back to the old school because I had a major equipment failure with my computer. And so I'm on a laptop, and I have no equipment hooked to it. So we are doing the sin of online radio. I'm actually on a phone, but that is going to change shortly once I get everything squared away. So Paranormal Horizons is actually starting fresh once again in all aspects. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the new co-host of Paranormal Horizons, Sherry Pang, and she's on with us right now. Sherry.
Hello.
How are you? Hello. Oh, I am doing good. We are kicking off a kind of new inaugural episode of Paranormal Horizons, and I'm so excited to get you co-hosting the show with me, you know, because it's rough trying to do it by myself. I need a partner for this.
I'm excited. And I welcome all the new viewers and the continuing viewers for Paranormal Horizons to be part of our team and listen. And thank you for your participation and support to you viewers and listeners.
It's going to be great. We're going to, moving forward, the vision for the show is to go out and get new equipment so we can improve the audio and just get it rolling and getting some great new guests on. I've got a long list of people that want to come back on the show, and I'm really excited about moving forward. Now, for the benefit of the listeners, now, you're not really a guest tonight, but I thought we would open up the show as just kind of letting everybody know a little bit about yourself, since you are going to be a regular voice on the show moving forward.
Thank you, Jason. I am a psychic medium, and originally trained as a traditional Chinese medical intuitive. And so being trained for being a medical intuitive, people that don't know what a medical Chinese traditional medicine, it's what they call medical qigong. It's being able to see clairvoyantly and or use your hands to see any balances or feel any imbalances in the organs, the blood, and the bones.
Does a person have to be, like, physically present with you?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when I sense their voice or I can see a picture of them, I can see the energy. Everything is energy. And so being able to sense whether it's through their voice or seeing their picture, I get a picture in my own mind seeing any imbalances that are inside the body and around their energy.
Well, we're going to actually meet up. Yeah, well, when we meet up in person, I've got all sorts of issues. I'd love to, probably wouldn't want to do it over the phone, but when we meet in person, you'll have to scan me and let me know what all my problems are, because, boy, I have a lot of them.
Well, just like a person's energy, your body will never lie. And as a psychic medium, my guides will never lie, and so will the souls on the other side. So,
We are excited to have you on the show. And we didn't really have a format for what we were going to do this evening. So it's going to just kind of be a random chat, you know. I'm interested to learn more about Jerry and what your take on some aspects of the paranormal are. And I know I pulled some paranormal stories out that we can talk about. I've got a couple good ones that are kind of interesting. But let me throw a few things at you. And, like, you're not really a guest, but it'd be cool to kind of hear some of your opinion on some areas of the paranormal. And what's your take? Do you believe? Now, everybody that has ever listened to this show knows that I'm a skeptic with a lot of things in the paranormal. I've done paranormal investigations and do them occasionally, but I'm really skeptical. But one of the big things that I really believe in, because I've had some personal experiences, which I'll have to talk about on the show some other time, but what is your take on UFOs? Do you think they're real? Do you think aliens are out there?
My personal feelings are, I believe that they do exist. I have never had a personal experience, but I've heard people do, and I don't want to discount that. It's not something that I've experienced, like I said just now, but I do believe they do exist. And I've seen YouTube. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to tell you about some of the stuff that I've seen in my life because it's crazy. I'm always skeptical about some of the videos out there, but I'm with you on that. Do you think that there are aliens out there that are abducting people?
That's a little bit out there, but I do believe it may exist. I mean, some people, I hear from coast to coast that there are people that really believe that they've been abducted. What about you, Jason?
Well, if I was to talk about some of the stuff that I've experienced in my lifetime with regards to aliens, you would probably be very skeptical. I've had some pretty crazy things happen. And that
really?
Would have to be a whole nother show. Oh, yeah, like with evidence.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Evidence left behind. Like crazy stuff that involved like men in black sort of things and scientists and labs and alien artifacts and craziness. But
wow.
I've talked about it on the show before. I don't talk about it a whole lot. I've been a guest on some other shows and talked about it. But we'll have to rehash that sometime, and I'll tell you some really crazy, crazy things that I've seen. So I'm definitely a believer. I think a lot of it is hooey. I think, you know, people are out there using all sorts of, like, Photoshop and all these video editing software kind of things and making a lot of fakery. But I think there's something to it. You know.
I agree also, yes. There is something to this.
So you're open to UFOs. Now, how about hauntings? Do you believe that spirits stay behind and haunt?
Most definitely. I've had experiences with my own family that have crossed over. So having those experiences, I grew up knowing that there is more to life than just what we see, hear, and feel, and touch. And so having this upbringing of knowing there is an afterlife and possible, that's another subject, reincarnation. I grew up knowing this. And when things happen to me with my experiences, like with my mother or my dad, it was quite relieving in knowing that life exists after, beyond the physicality.
I've seen some weird things as well on investigations. I'm a little bit more skeptical about the ghost thing. I certainly think that there's more that goes on in this world that we're able to perceive, and it wouldn't surprise me. Some of the things, we've had many, many guests on the show. Some of them, the things that people have discussed seemed way out there, like, for example, all those sinkholes that were appearing in Russia. We had one guest that believed that those were portals for demons, and I think that's probably stretching a bit. I don't know. I'm the first to admit that I'm wrong if I end up being wrong, but I think it's probably more of a geological phenomenon than demons coming out. But speaking about demons, because we talk about exorcisms, we've talked to people that do exorcisms, Archbishop Ron Sale, we've talked to a ton of people that believe in demons. Do you believe that there are evil entities out there that can affect humans?
Yes, I do. I do believe that if you're open, you believe yourself open, or you're not protected, or there's just like for me, learning in Chinese medicine, there's always a yin and yang. There's always a balance. There's, not I would say evil, but it's people that are not of the highest vibration, I should say. So I do believe that they do exist. And so as a psychic medium, I take precautions. I usually do a prayer and call on my guides and make sure that I'm of the highest vibration. So, yes, I do believe so. I do. I have never had, I would say, been confronted personally with possession per se, but I do believe that people sometimes, if they use drugs in or are really drunk and they're not the, like Jekyll and Hyde, I do believe that maybe a possession might take place or possibly walk in. It's interesting.
So
very, very interesting.
It's probably safe to assume that playing with a Ouija board while on meth or drinking alcohol is probably not a good idea.
You know, we're probably trained, we're not supposed to. But you know what? I also see that there always is a balance. There's a possibility that if you protect yourself and that you're very mindful of what you do, that it can be, a Ouija board can be used for your benefit. I mean, what's the difference, Jason, what's the difference between a Ouija board or pendulum or tarot cards? These are all instruments trying to get answers to things that we don't know or our subconscious, tapping into the subconscious, don't you think?
Yeah, there's been some talk about, you know, ghost hunting is opening the door. And like you said, pendulums and tarot cards, all things that I've played with before in my youth, I no longer do because after watching so many horror movies, I've become deathly afraid of opening any doors to dark entities. I'm a big imposing person. And if I watch a scary movie or something weird happens, I get totally freaked out. So I hope that doing Paranormal Horizons doesn't open a door, but I suppose maybe it could. Maybe the spirit can be, you know, come through because we're doing a show. I don't know, just because we're talking about it, giving it energy.
Giving it energy, positive energy, highest vibrations.
Yes.
Educating our viewers and people that are might be skeptical or not knowing what the paranormal is. So we're at a good intentions. I think that's the main important thing is having your intentions to help others and educate others, sharing your knowledge and learning and growing.
Absolutely. I'm all about positivity. If anybody is on my Facebook, you know, 75% of what I post is cats. I'm a cat addict. I like cute, fluffy, not dark and evil. That's what I.
And they love
that's
you
what
too.
I love in my life. Yeah, love the cat.
Oh,
so,
sweet.
I know you. Well, you've been on my Facebook. You've probably seen some of those cat pictures.
They're cute. They're adorable. I love
you gotta
cats
love,
and dogs.
You gotta love cute. So. There's so much to talk about in the paranormal right now. So, I don't know, did you find any stories or anything? Because I think I'll talk about a couple right now, and then if you have anything that you found that's going on.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
the only
this,
thing I
this
thought...
One...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
The only thing I was thinking about was the Chip Coffee. That's the one, the Destination of America. The
oh,
Exorcism.
Yeah, yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
Seems like a big controversy right now.
Oh, well, yeah, let me go through this one and then tell us about that. I did hear a little bit about that, and it sounds interesting.
Very interesting.
So this one isn't paranormal, but I found it interesting. Mysterious white fibers fall from the sky in Arizona. Again, weird, right? Once again, mysterious white fibers are blanketing the ground in the Prescott area of Arizona. A year ago, a person by the name of Corey Gunnels and Mari, I'm terrible at pronouncing names, we'll just say Mari, discovered mysterious white fibers after three military aircraft swept through their skies, leaving behind what they could only describe as webs on the ground. Oddly enough, this happened yet again almost exactly a year later. Originally, these white fibers were reported by the mainstream lying media. I guess there's a lot of people that believe the media lie, which I pretend to agree. And the media referred to it as cow gauze. What on earth is cow gauze? That sounds terrible. I don't know. I'm going to have to Google that and find out what cow gauze is. So the media was claiming that cow gauze was dropped from a military aircraft. However, these two activists pushed on and tested the samples, and what they discovered is that it contains a perfect cocktail of geoengineering fibers, strontium, barium, and aluminum. Those were all discovered in high levels. Now, these fibers had once again returned. These activists had tested them once again, and the testing results aren't out, but there's probably a good chance that it probably contains those same elements, which are toxic. Now, there's people out there that believe that the government has been spraying deadly chemicals in our skies in the hopes of population reduction. Furthermore, they have been using geoengineering as biological testing agents on the populace, all while claiming it's nothing more than like engine vapor from the jet. So there are people that believe that the military is out there spraying strange things, trying to reduce the populace or engineer the atmosphere, and I wouldn't put it past the government. I think saying population reduction is probably a stretch of the imagination. I think that, but you never know, because I don't know if you know, there were several instances decades ago where the government did test things, toxic compounds and biological agents on unsuspecting of people. So it you never know. What's your take on that? What do you think the government could be up to?
Boy, the government. That would be probably no good. Oh, my goodness. Especially you. There's a lot of things with the government we don't know about. And that's interesting.
Yeah, one of the things that have always interested me is conspiracy theory, and it's a topic that we never really covered in depth on the show. I think that we need to, because we never found any experts that knew a lot about it. I know a lot about it, but nobody wants to hear me ramble on about conspiracy theory.
I'd probably join you too, Jason. There's a lot of things we don't know about when it comes to the government and secrecy. A lot of theories, and I don't know what to say.
Well, if you're in Arizona, watch out for these spiderweb things falling from the sky, because they contain strontium and barium and all sorts of nastiness. But, it does look like we have a caller. Do you want to take a caller and then tell us about Chip Coffee?
Sure.
All right, let's take this caller.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, Jason, it's Pat Rice.
Pat Rice, I didn't recognize your number. How's it going?
Good, hi. I'm so glad to hear both of you. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Pat. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you know, I got the message for you in a hotel room all by myself, feeling really lonely. So this was a good opportunity to talk to some people.
Yay! Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
and, you know, Jason, I wanted to, you guys are talking about a whole gamut of things here, but I wanted to talk about, you referenced some of the alien stuff,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, well, I spent a night, a few nights ago in Mount Shasta. And, of course, Mount Shasta is supposed to be, you know, Mount Shasta is supposed to be a big portal, you know, for lots of, you know, paranormal activity and high energy and all of that kind of stuff. Have you guys heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I've heard. It's a hot spot.
Yeah. So I ended up staying in Mount. So is it okay if I tell the story, you guys?
Yes? No, please do. Please do.
Okay. So I'm traveling to California, and I spend the night in Mount Shasta, and I do this thing where I rent a room. It's called Airbnb, and you go on a website, and you rent a room for, you know, really, you know, not very much money, and there's a profile of the person, so you're not going into, like, a weird house or anything. So that's what I do. And so I'm in Mount Shasta for the night, and these people that are living in the home, I mean, they're just telling me all these amazing things about Mount Shasta. And one of the things that they believe, Jason, which I think you can appreciate, is that there's a race of people that many, many years ago, they moved into the inside of the mountain, and they're still living in the mountain.
Huh.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, right?
Wow.
A race of people?
Yeah, and I can't remember the name, but, and then there's portals on the mountain where, you know, different, you know, they can come out of it or supplies are brought in. But the thing that I wasn't clear about, because when I was there and I was just getting all kinds of information from these people, and it, you know how sometimes when you get a lot of information, it's kind of overwhelming?
Oh, yeah. So sounds like my work.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't get the name of the race or anything like that. So I wasn't clear if they were aliens or if they were really just like spiritual bodies or if they were real people. But this is not the first time I've heard about this. So it was really, just really crazy and bizarre. I mean, it wasn't weird. Like, people weren't weird, but it was like, wow, you know, could this be possible?
I've heard similar things before about, you know, people living within the earth. I'm a skeptic, so I would say, well, where's the proof? If they're living in the mountains,
right,
surely there can't be like a self, well, maybe there is a self-sustaining environment within the earth. I don't know, but I would want to know where the opening is, and I'd love to go explore it.
Is it like a vortex?
Probably, Sherry. I mean, I'm not, you know, 100% certain, but there, if you guys ever get the chance, and maybe you have, you know, spent some time in Mount Shasta City, it's pretty amazing. Like, some other things happened to me there just in one night that, you know, like, people coming up to me and telling me things that they didn't even know about me. And I mean, it's kind of a pretty magical place. So, and they all sort of attribute this to the mountain, you know, Mount Shasta. So I don't know, you know, I can't invalidate it, but I don't have the facts like you're saying, Jason.
What was the feeling you got there when you went to, go ahead.
Oh, I've always had a good feeling, Sherry. Every time I've been to Mount Shasta, probably three or four other times in my life, a couple of times I camped on the mountain, and it's always just been, you know, very, very positive, and I leave with a really uplifted, good feeling. So
it's an amazing mountain, and I should say that we do have a comment in chat that, that people are called Lemuria, that live in that mountain. So I guess that I've heard of Lemuria as being like an Atlantis type place. So does that mean that I think Lemurians is what they would be called?
Lemurians.
Lemurian, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you live in a mountain though without sunlight? How do you, like, what do you eat? Cave spiders? Have you seen those? Those are absolutely
terrifying.
Well, you know, Jason, that's why I didn't get details on that. It's like I didn't know if that meant they were sort of like spiritual beings or maybe aliens, because I have heard other stories, you know, about, you know, aliens, you know, centuries ago coming down and, you know, building the pyramids and things like that. And then I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas here. I'm not being very factual or anything like that. You know, I just, in my life, I come across people who tell me stories and I'm just fascinated. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's
I've never heard that.
Do you think,
Sherry, that that's possible, that there's a race of beings that live in the mountains?
I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. I'm assuming maybe it's possible, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they give too many hallucinations.
I know, it's very confusing because I'm the kind of person where I want to have proof, you know, it's like I want to, you know, see the proof, but then I have people telling me these things and, you know, who knows, Jason, and I know that you've had some experiences in your life that, you know, that you've shared openly on different shows. And so I can't discredit that there could be, you know, some kind of life entities or something, you know, living in a mountain. But my feeling about it was that they weren't human. You know what I mean?
Who knows? I mean, I'm like you. I'm skeptical, but I'm also open-minded. We certainly don't know, you know, we don't know everything about this planet, and they discover new things all the time. So I suppose it's possible that there's those beings that live in there. I think what would be a great road trip is for Paranormal Horizons to go to Mount Shasta, find a cave, and do a live show.
I know. And then so then kind of if I could just take a few more moments of your guys' time to share. So then, you know, I left Mount Shasta and then I went on, you know, further into California. And, you know, I was hanging out with some friends and meeting some new friends and things like that. And I met a couple of people that had these experiences in Southern California, in an area called Borrego Springs, which is desert. It's way down in Southern California. And they were telling me about, they had been out there camping and, you know, Jason, some of the stories we've heard on the show before about, you know, lights, you know, way out there. And then all of a sudden the lights are like suddenly right there. And you're like, wow, that's not a plane. It's not a helicopter. What the heck is that? And so I had a couple of people tell me that they felt that they had seen alien ships, you know, and it was just these lights that came upon them, you know, really quickly out in the desert, and then they just zoomed away. So, I don't know.
I've been reading that the military knows about these so-called UFOs, but they're not talking about it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something to think about. Why is that?
I think that that's true. I think the military, there's a lot of things that we don't know. Jason, what's your take on that?
Well, the government, everything that the government's flying right now is stuff that was developed 40 or 50 years ago. So if we only see stuff that's half a decade old, who knows what they're flying around the skies now. That being said, I do believe in UFOs, but I think sometimes it's hard to differentiate what is, you know, a man-made secret aircraft versus what's extraterrestrial. Who knows what they're playing with? I mean, technology is expanding exponentially. It's hard to say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's really hard to say. Now, there are sightings of crafts that are a mile long. Those kind of things, I would be really skeptical, you know, being created by humans. You know, something a mile long hovering over a city or something like that. But for those lights shooting around, I don't know. I certainly would love to see it. I have seen things that are similar to that that made me wonder. And incidentally, we're broadcasting from the state of Oregon, and one of the top UFO spotting places is only about an hour away from here. We should take a visit up there. It's up in Washington.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you know, Jason, you bring up a good point. The military could be messing around with technology and things like that, especially out in the desert, you know, because there's bases out there and, you know, things like that. So we really don't know. You know, we can't officially say, oh, that was a UFO.
Yeah, I mean, we can say it's a UFO, it's unidentified, but in terms of being piloted by aliens, yeah, I mean, no.
Yeah.
I would like to, the kind of things that I've seen are similar, like lights that do weird things. You know, I've never seen like a big craft land or anything like that. The stories that I have are a little stranger than that even, but I would love
right.
to see it. I think we need to figure out a way, create some sort of alien beacon, because that would be awesome. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, and you know, I guess my position is, and I don't have proof or anything like that, but I can't believe that we're the only, you know, entities in this universe. So I do believe that there's other beings, you know, call them aliens, call them what you will, that are in the universe. Whether they're able to come down to this planet, I don't know. But that's my personal opinion, is that we're not the only life force in the world or in the universe.
I think that would be kind of naive. Sherry, have you ever seen a UFO?
No, not at all. I've not at all personally witnessed any type of UFOs or any unusual things other than orbs. That's the only thing I've personally have seen. None whatsoever. No aliens, no UFOs.
That surprises me, because I've seen a lot of weird things. You know what I think it is? Is that I think a lot of people were more trained to not look up. You know, we're either looking straight ahead as humans or looking down at the ground. It'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I bet people would see a lot of things if they took the time to actually look up at night, you know.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But, yeah, Jason, it's great to talk to you again, Jason, and I'm so glad that you're starting up the show. And you know, Cherie, you have such a great perspective on, you know, healing and all of that. But I wanted to bring up another subject, Jason, if I could. Am I taking up too much time?
No, we got time.
Not at all. So in my journey, my little vacation here in California, I ended up in a really old city, Nevada City, which is east of Sacramento. And I ended up in this hotel called the National Hotel, and it's really, really old. And my sister and I went in there into the old bar, you know, just to have a beer. And this guy, the bartender, starts telling me about. I kind of asked him. I said, "Well, wow, this place is really old. You know, has there been any, you know, instances of, you know, hauntings or spirits or anything like that?" And he said, "Well,
He said, I'm a real skeptic, like you always say, Jason, I'm a skeptic. But then he goes, but, and then he had a couple of really interesting experiences that were I felt really valid because he was a skeptic, where he often hears someone calling his name. And then because it's such an old place, there's been murders, and a little girl was murdered there, and some prostitutes and things like that. So
wow.
it was just kind of interesting. And then my sister and I, they let us walk all over the hotel, and not that we're particularly psychics or anything, but we just felt like, wow, you know, there was a lot of energy there, and it was neat. It would be another really neat place to go to, Jason, to do an investigation. I know there have been investigations there, but it would be really interesting.
Yeah, I would. In fact, we were talking about doing a, remember when we did that live broadcast from Edgefield? I think we want to do something like that again. We have to have you come along when we go out and do that again.
Yeah, I would love to. And this place was, like, so neat. And it was really neat because the bartender, his name was Bruce, and he said that there had been some, and he called them Hollywood. He said there had been a Hollywood group there, and I don't know which group it was, but he said he didn't, like, validate anything that they found because it was Hollywood. But then there was another local group that he respected and that he knew the women, and they had come and spent the night, and they had actually recorded a little girl's voice singing a nursery rhyme.
Oh,
and that,
wow.
Yeah, and that he believed because he didn't invalidate the women because they weren't into it for money or, you know, being on TV or anything like that. So I thought, wow, that's really validating that there is something, you know, going on. That it just validates that there's still, you know, energy in that hotel. Oh, my God, and when you walk around in it, it's old and the stairs creak and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was cool.
That's cool. Wow.
If I heard
That's
nursery
neat.
Rhymes, I would be out of there. You know, I start thinking about.
Oh, come on, Jason. You're braver than that.
Hey, have you seen the movie The Ring with Samara, the girl that comes out of the television? There's something that is horrifyingly creepy about little girls and ghosts.
No, I have not seen that, and that would freak me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just crawling on the ceiling and chasing you around, and yeah, I know.
Oh no!
I'll take an adult.
Did you watch the show, Jason? Is that what it is, or you just saw the preview?
No, I keep thinking of movies like the movie The Ring and The Grudge, where they have, you know, this little girl demon ghost thing, and it's just freaky.
Wow.
But Jason, we have to realize that's the movie. That's
well,
Hollywood.
I know, but it's Hollywood. But I'm still a big sissy.
I am too. I don't like. I used to watch before I got into this paranormal stuff. I used to love watching things that were, you know, way out of there and limbs and arms cut off and all kinds of things. But now, no, thank you. I have to sleep at night.
I know, but I do believe that there is. I don't believe in all that Hollywood stuff, you guys, and. But I do believe that, you know, there is energy and sometimes, you know, from a person or a spirit or whatever, you know, that's left on this plane, if you will. And I don't know how that happens or why it happens, but I do believe that. And I believe in angels and all of that. So it's just, I guess what we believe maybe
maybe we're able to manifest and see in our lives or experience. I don't know.
Totally with you on that. I'm open to all of it. You know, maybe there are angels. I'd like to see one. But, hey, we have another caller. Pat, did you want to stick around for a caller or you want to take off?
If I can hang on, I will, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
That's
yeah, let
great.
Me, bring on another caller. And maybe we can listen to
awesome.
Some more cool stories. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hey, my name's Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I just wanted to share a story with you real quick. I was the one in the chat room. And what happened is my grandparents owned a business when we lived up in Chicago. And they had an apartment above the business where they used to live. And back in the 70s, my grandfather passed away. Unfortunately, he passed away in the bathroom.
Okay.
And years later, my wife and I, after we sold our home, we moved up to the apartment. And when we were moving up there, my brother was helping, and his son, my nephew, was, you know, carrying little light boxes for us. And when he walked up, he had to use the bathroom. And he came running out of the bathroom, and he was crying. He said, "There's a man in the bathroom. There's a man in the bathroom." And we're like,
wow.
Looking like, what? And he described my grandfather to a T. Now, my grandfather passed away in the 70s, and this was in 2000. So he never met him, you know. But he described my grandfather to a T.
And he couldn't have known
in that bathroom.
Like.
He could not have known what he looked like. There was no pictures of him. There was nothing. You know, he was at the time he was 5 years old, you know, not my grandfather, but my nephew was only 5 years old.
Wow. So he
in
just
that
wanted
bathroom.
His appearance.
There's stuff like that that makes
you know,
me really wonder, you know, it makes me kind of more believe, you know, when somebody can describe somebody that they've never seen, that is creepy.
He described him, you know, white hair and, you know what I mean? And you know, after we thought about it, we're like, oh, my God. So, you know, after he was crying, he was hysterical, you know. But when you finally got him calmed down and, well, what did he look like? What did he look like? You know, and it took like an hour or so to finally figure out, like, hey, wait a minute, that's Grandpa. So then, you know, as we got talking to him and we didn't want to show him a picture because, you know, I had to go to my mother's house. You know, and she had the only picture of him. And, you know, I didn't want to show it to him because he probably would have really freaked out. But, you know, he described him to a T. And I didn't ask him, you know, clothes-wise what he had on or anything like that. But, you know, I wanted to share that with you, you know, that it was like, oh, my God. And I never believed in that stuff either, you know, until that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Go on.
That's amazing.
The other thing I wanted to tell you, too, that Mark Richards that I was trying to tell you in the chat room, I thought at first when I had heard that it was a joke. But the guy's in jail in somewhere in the Northwest, I want to say like Washington State or something like that. And he was a captain, and it was like it's all cover-ups with UFOs and things like that. So if you take the time to watch the YouTube video and then you take the time to really read up on the guy, you're going to kind of go like, oh, my God, you know, and this has a lot to do with aliens and UFOs and things like that. And so, you know, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, that's a joke, you know, and then, you know, you read a little bit more into it. Well, then I accidentally caught his wife, but, you know, heard her on a radio show. And that's how I first learned about these things. So if you take time on it, I'm sure doing a show on that in the not too distant future.
Yeah, as soon as the show's over, I'm gonna queue it up and watch it because I'm a UFO buff. So yeah, but an interesting ghost story, and yeah, I mean, I totally believe what you're saying. There's more to this world and more to this universe that we realize. And I guess when you see something like that, it makes you a believer. And it's the same with UFOs. When you have an experience, you become a believer. That's how it worked with me, anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've never had an experience with a UFO or anything.
But hey, Alan, this is Pat Rice. I've got a question for you. So when your son saw your grandfather, did anybody else ever see him in the bathroom?
Well, he passed away in front of the toilet, like right on the floor. He had a heart, he only had a massive heart attack and died. And no, nobody did. And my wife and I lived there for, probably 3 years and never had an experience, you know, and we didn't have our own children until after we moved out.
Right, right.
You know, it was, you know, that, it was my nephew.
Oh, your nephew. I'm sorry. I said your son. I apologize. But, and how old was he? How old was he when he saw that?
My nephew was, he was like, you know, around maybe 4.5 or 5 years old.
Right. And, you know, I think that's really valid because time and time again, I've heard about children being able to see that because they haven't shut down their third eye, if you will. And, Sherry, you can probably relate to that. You know, it's like they haven't shut down all of those senses. So we often hear about children, you know, seeing things like, you know, how many times have we heard about a kid having an imaginary friend?
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, it's really not an imaginary friend. It's really, you know, real. So I find that, thank you for sharing that. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. When that's why I was, you know, as you were talking, I was like, wait a minute, I, you know, the one time in my life that something actually happened and I can relate to.
That just validates that people sometimes come back after death and just make their presence known. It's not unusual for that to happen, but your nephew was quite fortunate, even though he was freaked out, he was very fortunate to have that experience because a lot of people don't, and they're not prepared when they do see that happen.
Yeah.
Very, very, very hard on kids, and they shut down, and they don't open that up because they're so freaked out and that kind of thing that could happen in that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to share it with you. I'm going to go back and listen on the computer.
Hey,
thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hope to hear from you again. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would, I've never seen anything like that. I've seen things out of the corner of my eye, but I've never seen, you know, like a full body apparition that I can recall with any detail anyway.
I never have either. I have just seen like whispering, like shapes, but I've never seen a human being manifest. Takes a lot of energy for a person to be able to manifest that way. It's a lot of energy for them. Very interesting.
I never have either, you guys. I mean, I think I've felt like a presence or energy, but I've never, like, seen it. So,
that's
neat that he shared that experience with Paranormal Horizons.
Can I share with you what happened a couple of weeks with me?
Yeah, go.
Experience. I want to share this. This is real. It has something to do with what Alan just said. I did a reading a couple of weeks ago, and this gal, everything was validated, spot on, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, I see a young male between 18 to 20, and I said there was like a brother figure that come through. And I said, it looked like he's telling me he died in a motorcycle accident. He had a helmet. She says, I can't figure it out. But, you know, she says, I don't know who you're talking about. I said, well, it could be like a brother figure. It's not exactly a brother, but somebody maybe you grew up with or was around that looked at you as a sister figure. She calls me 5 days later. She said, oh, my gosh, Sherry. She says, you know, when you tell me things and I don't, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense. She says, I want to tell you something. My son, who was 5 years old at the time, he's 7 now. She said he's seen a guy in the apartment complex, just got hit from a motorcycle accident. And I guess he had a half helmet and had come in bloody, and he wanted to talk to her little boy. He freaked out and just shut down. And I said something about April, something with the effect of the date was somewhere around April. Her son validated that it happened in April because in May they moved out of their apartment. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very.
So anyway, yes, it was. I mean, she, like I said, she, it didn't make any sense. I said always when spirit talks, whether they're from my guides or from the deceased people, they always have something to say, and it may not make sense at that given moment, but later down the line, you'll find there's some, you know, some, it'll make sense. There's some connection with you or your family or something. So that was quite interesting to hear that. So when she told me it was that guy that they believe got in a motorcycle accident in front of their apartment, that was interesting.
I think that's so important, Sherry. It's like, you know, sometimes messages or information that we get, we're just like, oh, no, that I can't even relate to that. But then, like you said, it presents itself later. And that's why we need to be, like you always say, we need to be open.
Right.
So
Exactly.
So, okay, so we do, we have another caller. If you guys want to take another caller, maybe we can hear another
sure.
cool story. All right.
No problem.
Right on.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizon. Who's this? Caller? Hello? You're on the show. Anyone there?
Hello, hello.
Hello? Well, maybe they're just listening to the show. But,
yeah,
those are some pretty interesting ghost experiences, and I'm thankful I've never had one of those, because that sounds scary. You know, I did see one thing once that looked real, but I don't know if it was a ghost, and it's not a really interesting story, but since we're talking about things that are similar, I was alone in my house when I was a kid, and I was sitting there at a desk, and I was listening to the soundtrack to Top Gun. So whenever that came out, that's about sometime in the 80s, probably the early 80s.
Right.
I was sitting there, and this creeps me out just thinking about it. I was looking at the doorway into this office I was sitting in, and I saw the end of a boot just step down, so it stuck out. And I was looking at it, and I freaked all out about looking at it. And I don't know if it was a ghost. I never figured out what it was, but just imagine being alone at night and seeing a boot step down. Maybe it was an intruder. But I got freaked out, and I got on the phone and called my friend, and I didn't see it step away. So maybe it was a ghost. Maybe it was an intruder. But I just remembered another quick thing. We're just talking about these full-body apparitions. And I've mentioned it before, is I was at a friend's house, and we were all going somewhere in two separate cars, and there were like four of them in their car, and I drove away in my car alone. And as we drove away, I was the car in front, so they were all in the car behind me. And when we got to where we were going, they all were asking, who was the man sitting next to me in my pickup? There was nobody in my car, but everybody in their car saw a man sitting next to me with his head turned towards me. That's
funny. Oh, my goodness.
So what is that? I don't know anybody that's deceased. Why is there a ghost staring me down in the passenger seat of my truck?
Well, it could be a spare guide.
Maybe,
or it could be somebody who has your truck that had something to do with your truck before you had it, right?
Yeah, I didn't actually ever really think of that, but maybe.
Yeah, that's my first thing, was maybe somebody that...
So that's interesting, Sherry, because my nephew had bought a really old Volkswagen and kind of fixed it up.
Okay.
And he had a couple of instances where somebody said, who's the man in the back, sitting in the back seat? And he was like, nobody. And then his take was, it was whoever had owned this old Volkswagen, you know, before he had owned it and fixed it up. So maybe that's who it was, Jason.
That makes sense. Maybe it's not a unique experience. Well, we've got we're kind of winding down in time here. We've got a few minutes left. So, and I wanted to make sure that Sherry had an opportunity to talk about this chip coffee thing before we sign out for the evening. So it's all you. What's going on with
Chip coffee? Well, I've been looking on on the internet, and Chip Coffee, as most people know, he's a psychic medium, and it's a big controversy about him doing a live exorcism with a program called Destination America. And he bought holy water, and he has a priest accompany him. And I was reading earlier yesterday that he said that this place is purely demonic. The house is purely demonic because he smelled rotted garbage in the hallway. Something about rotted garbage and flesh in the hallway, which was a sign that there was definitely demonic spirits that was lurking in the home. And they do have another paranormal team, I believe. I forgot the name. But they were going to be investigating all night and having their equipment out and what have you. But, that's going to be interesting to see.
That sounds freaky.
Yeah, that does not sound like a good time.
Yeah, I mean, all that carnage. That, wow, yeah, that sounds pretty pretty scary.
Yeah,
so what's the house?
I forgot. It was some kind of house. It had some history that was had some exorcism taking place because the person that was living there at the time, I believe, and don't quote me on it, but I believe they were possessed. And after they were able to get the spirit out, I guess the demons are still lurking in the house or something. So I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
Well, we've
really
heard
hyper.
That before. I mean, Sherry, we've heard that before where the demonic spirits or the spirits who like to cause trouble will stay with the house or they will follow the person. Right, Jason? I mean, gosh, Bill Beam, we've heard different situations on that. So, and that stuff is really scary. And those are some pretty powerful, what I would consider powerful demonic spirits.
I believe that they exist. Yes. Yes, definitely. I would never.
Yeah, we don't want them around us.
I don't even like talking about it.
I know, I can't. Right, exactly. I don't even want to talk about it.
So let's talk about angels.
Okay. Well, and Jason and Sherry, I didn't mean to, you know, take too much time on the show, but
no. Thanks
for letting me chat with you tonight because I wanted to support the show and, you know, just. I'm glad you started it again, Jason.
Oh, no, it's great that you called in, and we'll keep trudging along. We're starting at base one again, but that's okay. We'll build it back up. I think Pat Rice, who we're talking to right now, is the previous co-host of this show, and we did about 85 episodes together.
Oh, my gosh.
That's wonderful.
I know, and I will call in as often as I can because I obviously love talking about this stuff and my own experiences. And I think it would be so fun to do some live things too, Jason and Sherry. We've talked about that before. We just got to get it organized.
Would be wonderful.
Absolutely.
I was talking to Jason earlier. We were talking about I live in Forest Grove and about the Grand Lodge. It used to be an old nursing home. And my understanding, and I know for sure, it's not what I feel, but I know there's a lot of paranormal activity, especially downstairs.
Yeah, is that now the McMinimums, Sherry?
That is correct. It is the McMinnons Grand Lodge.
Yeah, and my sister-in-law used to work there, and she has quite a couple of stories about that place.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
We're
going
to have to get out there.
Yeah, she worked there when it was a nursing home, and she's got, So that would be fun.
I tried to get in there once, and they didn't get back to me, but see if we can't figure something out. Maybe we can do what I'd like to do is a live broadcast from there like we did at the Edgefield. But we're actually out of time, so we got to close this up. So I want to thank Pat Rice for calling in. And
thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat.
You guys, thank you. Thank you for notifying me about the show, and I'm so glad that I could just chat with you guys. And are you gonna do the show next week? Is it on Sunday, Jason?
Yep, I'm gonna keep it going once a week. I think that's the point.
Okay, awesome. All right, be tuned in then.
We'd love to have you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling
in. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it.
All right, you guys, be safe.
Oh,
bye.
We will.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Well, we are out of time, and I want to thank everybody that called in this evening. We had a couple good stories, and I want to thank Sherry for calling in, because she's the co-host, the new co-host. And I want to thank you for being part of the new team. It's awesome. And,
glad to be here.
And we're going to keep it going. And like I said, things are a little rough right now because my computer system shut down, so I can't make new intros, commercials, this and that. And we're building it from scratch. So our audio will improve once we get everything up and running again. We just wanted to get out there with the reintroduction of Paranormal Horizons after about a 3.5-month break. And with that, thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a great week. And I'm going to close the show since I don't have an updated extra. With a little commercial for Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior. Thank you all for listening, Sherry, and everybody have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.